I walk into the Swiss Alps Church, it was singing, "What a good friend, oh Jesus."
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that choir singing.
Yeah.
You know what? I tears pouring out like rain. I cried for non-stop crying for 3 days.
Wow.
I believe that's born again, you know. I just, everywhere I go, I cried. I just saw the beautiful flower, everything beautiful.
God promises in Joel 2:28 to pour out His Spirit on all humanity. Welcome to Global Outpouring, where we contend for that promise outpouring, we equip for that outpouring so that we may engage in that very outpouring. I'm Philip Buss.
And I'm Sharon Buss. Welcome to the podcast today. We have with us our special guests, Esther Annie Halberg and her sister Lois. They are from China, and they have amazing stories. So we're going to do two episodes with them to bring you their stories. They have just been such a blessing to us, and we want to encourage you to enjoy this as Annie shares her story of finding meaning in life in communist China. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Thank you so much. We would love to hear from you. You can send us an email at feedback@globaloutpouring.org, or you can go to our website, globaloutpouring.net, and you can leave us a comment there. We would love to hear from you. It's really, really empowering to us when you give us some feedback. We'd love to hear where you're listening from. We'd love to hear from you if you have something you need prayer for, if you have an idea that you want us to do a podcast on. We'll take it to the Holy Spirit, see what He gives us. There's so many things on our website that you can enjoy, and we want to make sure, if you haven't already done so, that you have subscribed to our email lists, because that's how we can stay in touch with you. If other forms of communication don't work for some reason, it could happen. This is a really good way for us to be able to stay in touch with you. Well, it's a delight to have with us Esther Annie Halberg and Lois Wong, their sisters. And you came with a whole team from New Zealand and China. What an amazing combination even to have. But you're Chinese and you came to New Zealand. That's a story in itself. I don't know how much of the stories we'll be able to tell today, but we've known each other for a number of years. And we really appreciate you coming to the convention. So welcome to the Global Outpouring podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Honored to be here.
So I would love to go back to the story of how you got connected to this ministry, how you met Sister Gwen Shaw, our founder.
Oh, wow. Yes, I came to U.S. 2008. Actually, I work for another organization. So I was invited to go to attend the Presidential Prayer Breakfast for the Bush. He's the Presidential Breakfast. And then during that break, and I just saw one lady came over me and on the wheelchair. And another lady pushed her, so she asked me in Chinese, said, are you from Inner Mongolia? I said, yes. I was surprised, how do you know that? Then she said, do you know Mongolia, Wang Ye? Wang Ye, yeah, Wang Ye means the Mongolia king. I said, oh, I was born in Mongolia, Wang Ye King's Palace. Then she said, wow, you know, she gave me her name card, and she said, is Wang Ye still alive? I said, no, I even don't know. But that name card brought us together. Yeah, that I have to wait for 1 year, and then I came to Angletown. That year, I experienced the brokenness. I physically, my aorta was broken. I had three-quarters of my blood and poured out. So, yeah, facing the almost died. It was like physically, spiritually, I got a breakthrough the old white skin. And it's like a rebirth, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so after that, it took me half a year to restore, you know, my physical body is so weak. I had to drink in the liquid for a month, chicken soup, you know. Mm. I got a sister who came from New Zealand to look after me. Yeah, so gradually, when I getting better, I was invited to a women group who study the 12 tribe of Israel.
Yeah,
I was really fascinated. I been coming from underground church, then in New Zealand I planted Chinese church, you know, all this always in the church. Never heard about the Israel or tribal. So I studied that book. I just said, I find my first tribe Zebulun, you know. I said, who is that woman? Grandshaw wrote such a fantastic book, you know. Then I went back home and find out the name card Sister Grandshaw gave to me. I said, that's the same lady I met at the Prudential Prayer Breakfast.
Wow.
Then the Midland people said, wow, you know, she's a very anointed woman. He said, you got to meet with her. So everybody started calling, you know, and Tom Handmaiden. Sister Grandshaw said, come here. Yeah, so I made a day. I drove to Little Rock and I flew to Little Rock and hired the car. And but for me, coming to Angleton is also, I had to break through so much, because that day was I was lost so many times.
Oh.
I drove like 4 or 5 hours from Little Rock.
It's only 2.5 hours.
I don't have GPS.
Drive.
And, you know, I drove on the mountain, my driving skill is not that good. I was so afraid that suddenly the fog, you know, come. I couldn't see anything on the narrow road. I said, oh my goodness, Lord, help me. I cried out to God. I turned open the four windows, and it was in November. It was so freezing. My finger kind of move. Anyway, I just heard the Lord said, bring out your wing, fly like an eagle.
Wow.
I just realized I come to the Eagle Rock, you know. So finally I arrived. I think Philip, he went to pick me up, and from there I just came down to the valley. Wow, I feel like a whole new world waiting for me.
Wow. Yeah. Which it was.
Yeah, and then it was like 9 o'clock. Sister Grandshaw, she's expecting me for dinner, but I was, because I was lost and I tried to find. Then she sang the song, Jesus Love You, I Oh No, in Chinese.
Oh.
Yes, I will Zhi Dao. Wow, I cried. Then Sister Grandshaw just told you, that record everything Annie said. You know?
Oh, wow.
I feel so honored. I thought, nobody. I come here. She always honored me. That make me feel like, I must be important. then I stayed here for 3 days, and she began to ask you to take out the old photo album.
Yes.
That's like every day I look at the photo. She shared all the story from the birth, from the baby photo until, you know, she was in China, in India, like a whole life. And laying in front of me, I just heard the God say, look, this is your spiritual mother.
Beautiful.
If I can make her to live a life like that, I can give you the same life.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Even greater. So I always feel like I was unworthy, but I was so encouraged, and she gave me her biography book. And when I returned home, I immediately started reading, even on the airplane. I never read an English book within 1 week, but that's the only book I read in 1 week.
Wow.
I read her story about, you know, she took the $10 and to go to China, go to Mongolia, go to Alashan. Wow. that my hometown area.
Wow.
So I began to realize that I was her prayer fruit, you know.
Yes, of
After
course.
20 years, she laid down herself at my hometown. I was born, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she told me she had poured out so much tear in my hometown, you know.
Wow. But
that, yeah, that's such a dark time, and yeah, that no believer in that.
I remember she said when she was there, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes being so lonely, she'd just take her accordion and mm-hmm sing every song in the book, you know.
Yes.
With her accordion. It was,
yeah,
because
she was so lonely, far from home.
Yeah, mm-hmm, far from home. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so another one thing I was so surprised, she has such a good memory, you know. She said she's that Tom 83 or something like that. And she can call that person's name even back to 50 years ago, you know.
Wow.
I was fascinated. Yeah, so after that, I realized that God want me to bring her back to China. Because she told me China is my first love, mm-hmm, and China is also my last love.
Yes.
So I just really feel like I came here for a mission, mm-hmm, you know, to I was chosen to prepare for her. So because that, I have to leave U.S. because I plan to live here for a long time.
Oh.
Then I try to reapply my visa. My visa, you know, Mark Bruce had to write a book for helping me to get visa. 3 times they denied.
Wow.
So I realized that God wanted me to go back to China. So
wow,
I went back to China for 2 years, just major preparing for her return to China, and also pouring out the Holy Spirit again. You know,
yes,
when 60 yeah years ago, she the intercessor laid down, giving birth to China.
Mm-hmm.
60 years later, and then God used her as like a spiritual mother, you know, to raise up all the children and anoint them to be end time handmaiden servant to do the harvest work.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's 2010. Sister Grenshaw mm-hmm came to you all, you know, came to Beijing, and mm-hmm we had seven men who did 40 days fast.
Wow.
So
wow,
I didn't know any of them, and it was God. That meeting is really God brought together 300, you know, all the underground church leader, the orphan, the saint, wow, you know, come together. So
it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. She just preached about it. Oh, she was welcomed by the 100 underground church, you know, the all the peasant. They bought a drum and the trumpet. So
yes,
in those days we haven't got that long trumpet, but yeah, they got that do 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 do, that kind of trumpet,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yes.
And they blow the trumpet and they beat the drum when
it was beautiful.
When the army arrived, they came in, that like lift up the gate of China in the capital city and welcome her, because that was God, that really from God, recognized who she is, and she had you know, poured her heart to China. Mm. And
in the 1940s.
Yeah, 1947.
Yeah.
So this is 60 years later. And yeah, so after Beijing, the convention, I remember it, the, everything she shared on the convention is the end time, open the book of end time. So remember, she talked about the Revelation, the four horses, you know, chapter 6 and the four horses. Even she said, and I never preached on the four horses in my life.
Wow.
It was like open the end time, the scroll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So after that, we brought her all the way to Inner Mongolia, after Beijing to Inner Mongolia. We went to Great Wall and everything about taking the Chinese Christian to another level.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So, and they united their heart through that end time handmaiden, the mother's heart. So until we went back, find when her first mission, you know, in Alashan.
Yes.
Yeah, that little town, you know, when she started the Bible school for 2 years. And that was another miracle. And we tried to look for the school. We saw the school must not exist, you know, 60 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, and we have no any clue. Yeah, mm-hmm. We just settled in the hotel. Then I have a picture Sister Grenshaw showed me. And she was with the early church leader, the Bible school, the student. And yeah. She and her first husband, they were the only mm-hmm. white people. So I have seen that picture. She brought that picture with her.
Uh-huh. She brought it with her?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's how I recognize.
Yes.
Yeah, that's quite amazing. Then I and Peter in that morning when we settled down in the hotel, we said, oh, Lord, direct us to find that Bible school and find that church. She only told us, he said, she told me this is the Pastor Gao, because when she left Mingxie, and she committed the Bible college to her student, Pastor Gao. He become in charge. She's in charge. You know, all mm-hmm. the missionary left. Because yeah. Sister Grenshaw is the last missionary left.
Mm.
Yeah. So she only know he's Pastor Gao. So we get on the text driver asked, where do you want to go? We said, oh, we'll take her to church. He said, oh, there's several... three self-church, government church. Which one do you want to go? We just said, any church you lead us, you know. And then she drove us to one of the church, and we knocked the door. The pastor came out. He said, who are you looking for? We said, Pastor Gao. He said, I am Pastor Gao.
That was God.
Yeah.
God then led you.
She led us into his office. And I suddenly found the same picture Sister Grenshaw brought. That picture is on his desk.
Wow.
Under the thick glass, you know.
Wow.
Right there.
Huh?
Wow.
That's amazing.
It was almost like, wow, how much chance you got. Mm-hmm. We just pointing that. We said, do you know that white lady? He said, yes, she's our teacher. She said, Gran. She said, how is she? I haven't seen her for 60 years. And we said, she's here in the town hotel. He almost jumped. He said, oh, take me to see her. Yeah, we just said, we'll bring her to this place. We said, where's Bible school? He said, here, this is Bible school.
So it was still
operating
as a church?
Yeah, still the Bible school.
Wow.
We said, wow.
How 60 years later, it's
still
running.
Bible school.
Glory to God.
Yeah, amazing. He said the communism has confiscated, but later on they returned to the church.
Wow.
So everything like a restored beam.
Glory to God.
Wow. So we brought in, we said, oh, in the afternoon, something about like 3 o'clock, we'll come to see you. He said, give me a time. I'm going to calling all this student or the pastor come. Yeah, meet. There were about 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 20 of them came. There, some of them had to take a bus like for 1 or 2 hours. And so, yeah, when they all stood in the yard, you know, when Sister Grenshaw walked into it, it was Tommy and went up to the, yeah, because they told me, he said they got a piano, organ.
Yeah.
Nobody can play. It was like broken. He said the government returned to them a few months ago. Yeah, with like 70 years old, you know.
Yeah.
So they were given by the missionary from other countries. Yeah. But anyway, he said Grenshaw had played this and teaching them how to sing song. And she's a very good musician. So Tommy started playing the song, you know, with the organ. Wow. So that moment, it just divine appointment, and Sister Grenshaw came in, and I just remember the wind blowing. Everybody stood up. We were all in tears. We all cried, you know, just having visits after 60 years. And Sister Grenshaw just asked, how the student, my student, are they alive? They said, no one is missing. No one died. No one was killed. They are all alive. They all did a great mission work. You know, they different area, region. And I said, ask this pastor, how many church did you plant? He said, oh, several hundred. And how many people you minister in this area? Oh, he said, 60,000. Oh, yeah.
60,000?
Yeah. He's in whole province, you know.
Wow.
He's become like reverend, you know, the leading all this. They still sing the old hymn because they sing the old song, you know, the
wow.
Mr. Simpson. What is it?
W.W. Simpson.
W.W. Simpson.
Yeah,
he wrote for them.
Oh.
Yeah, I read it. I was crying, he said, because in the book say, ask the Lord, harvest 44,000 Chinese or 44 million Chinese. In those days, in the back to 1920,
wow. 44 million.
Yeah, million Chinese.
Wow.
And crying. We just said that's really amazing. Amazing. They're still singing his hymns. Still.
Wow.
Then they have so much report. Then I remember Sister Grenshaw just sitting there. He said, fruit after fruit, fruit after fruit.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, so that trip is like such a fulfillment, you know. Mm-hmm. She full of the joy, you know. That's why when she returned, she feel like my mission has completed, you know.
Yeah.
What did they call that? Your son swan?
Swan song.
Swan song.
Yeah, her swan song tour. That's what she called it. Her.
Yeah.
So she started in China, and that was her last overseas trip,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
It was right after that, after she got home. She started going downhill.
Yeah. We met so many Chinese people. They all said, oh, with the End Time Handmaiden, we have joined the Beijing Conference, joined the Xi'an Conference. We all End Time Handmaiden. Remember once you anointed 500 End Time Handmaiden and a peasant, you know?
Yes.
Wow. After 10 years visiting them, how you said, we're End Time Handmaiden. We want to hear from Mama Grenshaw. Sure, we want to, to know where should we go, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, they're very faithful, dedicated. God, you know, using them at the harvest since 2010. They all become a deeper intercessor, warrior, and evangelist, planting church all over China.
Glory to God.
Oh, many of them be sent to the other nation, you know, like mm-hmm. Brother Xiang, who has accorded our whole group, because he's the one pouring out so much finance, you know, for almost he gave out all his saving money, everything.
Really?
Yeah, for that trip.
Oh, my.
And, you know, he wanted your guys stay in the 5-star hotel. He said, we want to honor Mama Grenshaw. We want to give her all the best.
Wow.
You know, so they paid, thousands on that journey. So, but they God reward them so much, Xiangdishun. Yeah. Mm. So now they God sent them to all the Afghanistan, all the Muslim country.
Wow.
Actually, God give the Muslim country to them.
Beautiful.
They are also very faithful and time servant. They are in the harvest field for, those country. Other people cannot enter. But God give them the permission, authority, anointing. Yeah, wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing. They can go where we can't.
Yeah, that's right.
Glory to God. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
God will connect us again one day.
Yeah.
And we'll, whether it's on this planet or when we get to heaven. But
what about the churches we were at, the orphanages? That was in 2012. That was in Anhui province.
Anhui province.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's another fantastic story. Remember that the orphan in, we raised up almost over 100 orphans. And the one child policy created so many homeless children, abandoned baby.
Yeah.
So the three pastors, they pick up their children from the street, from the rubbish bin. Or some people brought that baby to that door. It's really, heartbreaking story.
Especially special needs children
and
girls.
And the girls, and also someone had, you know, the paralyzed, and the sickness, you know. The parents can't afford having that sick baby.
Right.
So they can't send to anybody else. Nobody wanted. So they put at the door of Pastor Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the one. He raised up. He probably received 100 off even by himself.
Wow.
Some of them died. That part of the reason I came to U.S. because I was, God rescued my son Moses, because Moses also the second child. We were not allowed to have him in China. So that's the way God opened the miracle gate 2001. Yeah, I escaped it from China, went to New Zealand. Actually, for rescue Moses' life, that's why God gave him name Moses. So because that, God gave me a burden heart to rescue. He said, I rescued your child. Now you can rescue many Chinese children.
Oh, beautiful. Mm.
Yeah, wow. That's I started that ministry right start 2003. I met the three pastors. And actually, we were having the underground church gathering, leadership gathering. Yeah, I saw some of the elderly men, like 60 years old, hold a 5-year-old girl. I said, your granddaughter? No, my daughter. I said, how's it come? He said, oh, I picked her up from the street.
Oh.
Abandoned baby, I raised him. Then next day, they show me the baby lying at the city gate, at the city council's gate.
Mm.
That baby lying on the ground. That's making me heartbroken, you know.
Sure.
Some of the baby, maybe somebody pick up. Some of the baby, if not good, they just gradually died on the ground. So I was that night, I said, I cry out, I call in all the pastor, we need to pick up all the children, you know, we need to. Then three pastors respond, that's Pastor Gao, Pastor Zhao, two Pastor Zhao. The other Pastor Zhao is not pastor, he just retired. He said, I'm retired now, my brother is a pastor, I'm ignorant, I don't know how to preach, but God said, look after my little one.
Oh.
So that's his start orphanage. He's raising up about 70.
Wow.
Yeah. So God gives them different. So the Pastor Zhao, the first one, he got the most difficult children. All the babies, the handicapped, the paralyzed, you know, because my heart was so burning. This baby need to go to hospital. And each baby needed 10,000 yuan. And to be received for the treatment.
10,000 yuan?
Yeah, 10,000 yuan.
What is that in American money?
美金, yeah, 一万块钱美金等于多少?
七万人民币.
一万人民币等于多少美金?
等于一千三百.
$1,300 US.
$1,300 US just to be able to get the child into the hospital.
Hospital, yeah. Oh, those days in 2000, it's very evil, very cruel. They seen the Pastor Zhao like begging them, kneeling on the floor, please rescue this baby. He said, it's none of your business. You should keep our government policy, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
You can't receive that baby. It's not yours. You don't have permission. Yeah, this kind of, you know, people are so deceived. Their heart's so cold. So that's
they don't have Jesus.
No,
that's the problem.
That's right. That's the reason I tried to raise up family in New Zealand. Very difficult, you know. So that's part of the reason I began to understand why God brought me to U.S. and to Midland, Odessa, because that Midland, Odessa has lots of wealthy people. They support the charity. Their company have their own charity company. So I started recruiting the right people to support the orphanage. Yeah. So, yeah, very thankful for American people. And the part, Sister Grenshaw had also helping me. Remember, she went to Odessa, Midland, just majored for raising up fund for the orphanage.
I remember that.
Yeah. So after this, how many years? 15 years later, or during that time, we just, set the missionary from America, from New Zealand, go to take care of all these orphans. We hold summer camp every year, baptize all their children. Eventually, more than 100 children survived, and some died, you know. Some of them just government robbed them, stealing them. Yeah, because the three orphanages are illegal. Yeah, government has done incredible.
So the government has some orphanages, right?
Oh, yeah, government has orphanage, but it's like communism, you know. Totally.
So these different. Illegal orphanages were teaching the children about Jesus. I remember their faces being so sweet and glowing with the joy of the Lord.
Yeah, because they're growing up with Jesus in every orphanage in the past. The father, they call them, the papa teaching, mama teaching them Jesus and the praying. And there's so much miracle in the orphanage during that group because they have to hide, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very living in the like underground totally. But they kind of tell people we have a need, you know, that's right. They keep everything quiet. Mm-hmm. So that's why they just training their faith. They pray. He says sometimes people threw a bag of a flower, you know, to the wall.
Wow.
That's kind of, then sometimes they hunger, they just fast. Yeah, so nowadays, last year we went to see one of the orphanage. Yeah, Papa Zhao, he's already 83 years old now. Wow. He still has two young orphans, and they are like 13, 14, because they pick them up. One pick up from rubbish bin, another pick up from the toilet.
Mm.
Yeah, so they're too young. But all the other children, half of the children came back home because he said, oh, auntie, come back to us. I haven't seen them for years. So they all tried it. You know, some take a train for 20 hours, 30 hours. They come to see me. I was just so amazed. All these young children, they still love Jesus, still have that shining, kind face.
And beautiful.
They do everything, you know. Very humble. They're doing very well. And whenever they're doing the work, their boss give them high praise. And a lot of them already married and have children.
Wonderful.
So every year they come home for a reunion. They still regard Papa Zhao's house is their home.
Beautiful.
So every Chinese New Year they came home. They bought so many stuff. You know, they chicken, sheep, and clothes. He said before, you know, the papa and mama tried very hard to buy clothes for them. So now he said children brought so many clothes for us. We're so too old, we don't need their clothes, but they're still buying for us. We had a wonderful gathering, and it just
beautiful.
Praise the Lord.
Beautiful.
God is faithful.
Well, thank God.
Thank you, God. Yeah, he's so faithful. He's the father of orphans.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Amen.
So tell us just a little bit about how you and Lois grew up.
Oh, yeah.
You were in a communist nation, and your father was in the military, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we grew up in the Mongolia Gobi Desert. And the Mao Su is half desert, half grassland. And my father served in the Mongolia horse troop. And he's like a commander, colonel, something like that. And my mom is a nurse. So when I was born, the year of the Cultural Revolution just about started. So they were too busy to look up. They had no time to take care of children. So they sent all the children, I was the firstborn, and to where my grandmother lived. So my grandmother lived in the rural desert, you know. Mm-hmm. We like 10 miles away, seeing one house, muddy house. We live in the mud, everything made by mud, mud bed, you know.
Wow.
So we grew up in a very isolated desert. So
you didn't know Jesus at all.
No,
right?
no. Yeah.
No exposure.
But it's God is there. Even
yes,
I don't know. He knows me.
Always
yeah,
there.
He knows me. So he actually, God raised us up. So he gave us a pure environment. Mm-hmm. And we don't have TV. We grew up. We don't have any kind of the worldly thing. Mm-hmm. Everything handmade. So my grandparents teach us how to work. Yeah. 4 years old, start working the farm because they have sheep, horse, and cow, and chicken, and all the animal. And it doesn't, like Israel, it seldom rain. So we have to carry the water from the well to water the crop for the animals' food, you know. Even for our food is totally from the field we planted.
Wow.
In the winter, autumn, we need to learn how to store and the food and underground. So very self-sufficient, you know.
Good.
And we wear the clothes that all my grandparents made for us. My grandparents in the night is the knitting, keep knitting the sweater, the thing, because in the winter it's so cold, minus 40 degrees.
Oh, that's very cold.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the Siberia wind blowing.
Wow.
In the winter, you're almost impossible to go outside. The wind can, the scent. In the winter, we have to overcome the coldness, you know, by put on so many sheepskin, the layers. The cotton clothes and the sheepskin. Everybody look like a sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how we hardly, you know, have a bath or shower, nothing. Yeah, only in the spring, summertime come with love to have a wash in the hot summer day, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, but because we live in the desert quite clean, you know. Mm-hmm. And living in the desert,
dry,
very dry, our skin very dry, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, we learned how to, you know, the milk, the cows, and digging. We always teaching out to do double job, you know. For example, like 5-6 years old, the grandparents said you to be the shepherd boy, shepherd girl, you know, to look after sheep and look after the cow. Another way, everybody carried a basket. You need to dig out the weed for the pig.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sunset, we came home, we ride on the cows and carried a heavy basket of the pig food.
So, wow.
So that's kind of like my sister, she's 8 years old, carried a bucket of water, you know. That's why she always complains that I didn't grow tall because I always carry the heavy water on my shoulder. Yeah, my grandmother has a, you know, the tiny feet.
Oh, she had bound feet.
Yeah, bound feet. She's poor, my grandmother. Every night she has to unwrap, you know, so painful, you know. In the daytime, she almost kneel on the floor to work, you know.
Oh.
Day and night. But we feel the tremendous love from my grandparents, you know. We learn so much from them. My grandparents all have very righteous character, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, diligent, righteous, and the generous. Our home open for every stranger.
Wow.
You know, we welcome anybody come to the home. They always have hot tea. We even have just one room, one mud bed, you know, like the half of this room.
Mm.
So everybody had a corner, you know, sleep, put on your, you know, the wool carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody had the wool carpet you rolled up in the daytime. Then the night you lay down so that keep you warm.
Wow.
Yeah, so the one by one, everybody, even we got a stranger come, they had a room to sleep.
Wow.
That kind of life.
That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, so after my childhood until up to 9 years old, and we all returned to a military camp. So we live in the military camp. That is another community life. So we always grew up in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the child in the community. Then in the military camp, we like 100 people living together in the camp, you know, all the officers, the soldier, and the families. And we have a meal together, you know. Yeah, many times we shared big meal, you know, or like kibbutz, you know, mm-hmm, the way.
Sure. Mm.
So we share everything equally. Like children in the summer, we go to our military garden. You know, they plant so much vegetable. So our job is to gather that vegetable and then put into the basket and put it at everybody's door. So then it very has to be the same amount of things. So,
mm-hmm. So you're sharing everything.
Yeah, yeah, we share everything. A little bit, you know, yeah, molding our character.
Sure.
Yeah, generously share with others.
The only problem with communism is that they've left out Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, they've left out right. God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because communism itself is very much like the Book of Acts,
exactly.
Where you share everything.
Yeah, you share everything.
But you got to have the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine.
Yeah, exactly. But in those days, that they work out. I think God working because the principle about very sacrificial teaching, all that live a sacrificial life. Yeah, because those soldiers, you know, who died for liberation of the communism, you know, mm-hmm. before the Chinese people live such a terrible life. No soldier died for us. So the people have that kind of dying for one another, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, much less of a selfishness than today. You mm-hmm. know, in those days, mm-hmm. we always think about others. We want others mm-hmm. best, you know.
Yeah.
So when coming to, then suddenly China changed. Yeah, before China emphasized on labor education, mm-hmm. Cultural Revolution is everything about labor education, you know, all the intellectual growing pride. So they've been sent to the country to do the labor job. So the peasant is like best. If you are a peasant, you're the highest position in China.
Wow.
Yeah. If you have money, you look down upon. So everybody very proud of, I'm a poor or I'm a peasant.
Wow.
Yeah. So because our family come from peasant, you know, situation. So my father, that's why he has been promoted, because my father also very great character, you know, mm-hmm. leading by integrity. So he was promoted. And all these officers in the military camp are very good character. They like a Christian or more than, you know, they self, they set up very good example for all of us, you know, mm-hmm. always working for others for, yeah. So anyway, we start school and the China's education changed from a laboring education to intellectual education. So mm-hmm. intellectual time. So everybody need to study very hard. So we all study very, very hard because we're always very obedient, you know, like best children or
right.
best student. So we always want to do the best, you know, that's yes. from our parents, grandparents. So I become like a top student in all my school, primary school, intermediate, high school. So eventually I went to the top law university in China.
Law?
Yeah, law.
Oh, so I don't think that I
knew university that. The training for government official, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and to making the law or serving the law and to training out to be a judge or lawyer mm-hmm. and very high position. So this is they chosen, you know, maybe one among 1,000 students you've been chosen. Mm. So I was chosen, you know.
Right.
Wow. And to serve the communism law, you know, serve our government, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And she passed the high examination. She was the first master degree graduate from the banking because that time China started economic, you know, Deng Xiaoping time in 1980, especially, you know, when relationship between America and China restored, that like business started, you know,
right.
economic mm-hmm. time. So she was the first graduate or master degree student from her banking.
一样的, 我的本科和研究生专业是一样。
就是 banking 嘛, yeah. So, yeah, but when I achieved that level, but I suddenly feel when I was at university, I lost my goal. I don't know what is next for me to achieve. And also I'm tired of driving myself so hard. You know, I suddenly feel I'm seeking for the meaning of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Why I'm on the earth? Why if I'm living just for working. It's like those days Chinese people hard work, always Chinese people,
sure.
But they don't have happiness, mm-hmm. don't have joy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a slave, you know. Yeah, so I started searching the meaning of the life. I went to all the library and study, and part of the reason I study English, I want to go overseas. So I chose two major. I did a double bachelor, one the law, one the English. I want to go overseas. I want to search in the truth, go to the Western country. You know, that's my goal. Wow. And when I was so lost and I just so depressed, because one day, one of my friend, classmate, she committed suicide.
Mm.
Wow. And she threw herself from 13 high building. I cried. I feel like I want to follow her, you know. I feel so meaningless, you know. Oh, just like a book of Ecclesiastes, you know. Empty, 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 you know.
Right.
Yeah. Then God know. And one day that would, yeah. That time already we got, I only very interested in learning English and also communicate with my English teacher. So one day we got an English teacher. She's a different English teacher. When she walked into the room, I saw her face gloomy with light. I didn't know what that. Then she smiled like an angel. Then I realized every teacher different. She's always teaching us with a smile on her face.
Hmm.
She's so happy. Oh. I just want to know why she's so happy. Why? Then I become very close to her, and then she brought me to government church. That before that, I don't know any church. I don't know Bible. I don't know Jesus at all. Never heard about it.
Wow.
So when I remember when I walked into the Three Self Church, it was singing, "What a good friend, oh Jesus."
Yeah.
Wow, that choir singing.
Yeah.
You know what? I tears pouring out like rain. I cried for non-stop crying for 3 days.
Wow.
I believe that's born again, you know. I just, everywhere I go, I cried. I just saw the beautiful flower. Everything beautiful, you know. That's such a born again spirit.
Yeah,
I never forgot. So, yeah. So immediately after, I have a great passion want to learn Bible. So, God brought so many American missionary to me to teach me Bible. German missionary, Australian missionary.
Wow.
Anyway, I don't know how they just come to my life suddenly. Like, yeah, and my life. I found a meaning. I found a joy. I began to laugh like them, you know, tremendous change. Then I received it the same time that God, Jesus, given me a calling. I read all this early disciple. Jesus said, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishmen."
Mm-hmm.
I just cannot help deny it. I said, "Jesus, you call me to be a fisherman. You call me to follow you." And eventually, when I graduated in 1987 or 88, I graduated from my double major. And I have opportunity to remain at my university to become a law teacher.
Mm.
Or teaching the law in English, that kind of position they give to me. And you can have a good salary, you can have a Beijing citizenship. You know, it's very hard to get Beijing citizenship like get a Roman citizenship, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the highest citizenship in China.
Wow.
But I just keep feeling like God calling me, and God brought me to underground church, all this saint, you know. They just come out of the prison, you know, them Wang Mingdao's disciple, they've been in prison, Yuan Xiangcheng, 20 years.
Mm.
So they just been released. I was, you know, by accident, I was brought to that meeting. It's like, you know, later I realized they are like passing on their anointing to us, you know, like mental, they mentally are. So I just cannot deny God calling me to serve him. Give up everything, you know, Jesus keeps saying, you know, and deny yourself, take up your cross to follow me and pay the price. So I decided to give up my job, give up my career, Wow. To follow Jesus. So, but I didn't realize that cost me so much. And I got no job, no place to stay. I just want to go to Bible college. But for going to Bible college, I have to live in nowhere, had no money, nothing for 4 or 5 years. But God said, I am your Bible college. He started training me and using me as evangelist. So that time I got such a zeal to preach gospel. I preached and built up the university fellowship, the first fellowship in university.
Wow.
Yeah, later I went back to my school, my university, they have so many become Christian.
Glory to God.
Yeah, even today the fellowship become a church, underground church.
Wow. So Annie, I want to say thank you for sharing this part of your story with us. And we're going to continue in the next episode sharing with your sister's story. Lois has such an amazing story about being in prison in China. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the podcasting platform suggest this podcast to other listeners who are also looking for a great move of the Holy Spirit. Check out our website at globaloutpouring.org to find out more information, read our blogs, connect with us, and donate. You can also browse our web store for life-changing anointed books. Until next time, this is Sharon Buss.
And I'm Philip Buss.
God bless you with His overwhelming, loving presence.